Can somebody say amen? Amen? All right, we're reading from Deuteronomy chapter 2 and starting at verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. We are going in to possess our possessions. And this particular series is called Receiving Your Inheritance. Now, we are uniting right now two things. One, I'm talking about Christianity and what kind of Christianity needs to be in place for us to be able to do this. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about God, if time permitting, talk a little bit about the blessing. Because that's most important, that you have complete confidence in the blessing. When Jesus, the Bible says in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus announced his ministry, and here he was now finished preaching in verse 28, and he said, all they that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him into a brow of the hill wherewith the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Glory to God. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. But what caused him to pass through the midst of them? The blessing. And how the power of that blessing can work in our lives. But we're going to talk about that. Now, let's kind of take up where we left off last time. The thing that I want to establish first is that truth is the highest level of reality. The way that the enemy tries to keep people in bondage is to keep them ignorant. Even today, our church has a literacy program. And one of the reasons we have it is because to teach people to read and be able to interpret something. I think the colonies, when this nation was formed, the colonies, if you had 50 families, you had to form a school. And it did that so that people could be able to read the Constitution. But I can guarantee you, if you don't know your rights, there's somebody out there that's got them. They are waiting on you. And so you have to teach people to read. You know, and I was just back in the day now, this is, don't go too far back, but it was back in the day. But parents used to work 2 and 3 jobs to get enough money to send their kids to school. Today, some of them don't care whether they go to school or not. That's a spirit. It is not the spirit of Christianity. So, one of the things that happened is that the way Satan worked his way into this world was this whole idea of knowledge. And deceiving Eve, making her think she didn't have something she already had. Somebody say, if you want to keep people from getting ahead, just put it in a book. They'll watch TV, but they won't read. I don't know why I stopped on that, so, you know. All right, so he is saying that this world is hostile. This world is, you're surrounded by unbelief. And the world is, in general, hostile towards God. Now, the church is the world's only hope. Because they're the ones that can bring God into every environment. All right? So now what has happened is I took you back to Numbers chapter, bless you, praise God. I know that was good. Numbers chapter 13, please. And also, Romans chapter 3. You don't need to turn to Romans chapter 3. Just Numbers chapter 13 is fine, I think. Okay? All right, Numbers chapter 13. He says here in verse 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. And verse 31 said, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up, the Bible says, and what kind of report? An evil report. Now, what are we saying with this? He said this. Stop speaking what is happening and start speaking what is written. Now, I'm talking about going in here and taking these giants. Now, if you don't want to go in, you want to stay in the wilderness, then stay in there. But if you want to go get your stuff, this inheritance that God has for you, then you're going to have to go in. And by the way, you're going to have to fight for it. So what God did is he waited on another generation to come. And that was this Joshua generation. A whole group that came out of Egypt had died because he found out they didn't want to go. And it's interesting over here where he says in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as I truly live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. So you got to even watch your slang. Because if God's going to give you what you say, you better watch what you say. Because death and life are truly where? All right, so God wants us to speak what he has spoken. And this Bible is God speaking to me. Amen. Say this. This Bible is God speaking to me. All right? That's what he wants you to say. Right there. Now, you got to watch it. Because some people are not ready for this. They're not ready for this that I'm teaching right now. But that's okay. I'm still teaching. Now, as we look at this, why does God want you to speak what he speaks? Because faith is rooted in the Word of God. And the only source for faith is his Word. And the only way it comes is by hearing it. Glory to God. Now, how powerful is this word? It is powerful enough that when God spoke it, it changed a world. You with me? Now understand, he has given you the privilege to operate exactly like him. Say amen. I'm talking about this word has creative power. Oh boy, let's see, now I got to go to my notes again. This word has creative power. And that means it has power to make something that doesn't even exist yet. Exist. Are y'all with me? Now this is strong stuff I'm putting on you now. I'm trying to find my notes on that. The thing that happened was, now watch this, because you got to follow this. This is really going to help you. God told Adam, don't eat of that tree. Snake comes in, serpent. He didn't, by the way, he didn't look like he looked now. But he, because he got cursed. But he comes in, and his snake was a friendly. One man said that the venom of snakes was used for healing power. But it wasn't like it is now. I mean, the animals weren't like, man had dominion over an animal. An animal would fear man. But now you eat him up as fast as he tried to, you know. So here is mankind having dominion over everything, fishes see everything. And now, because he violates the command of God, the curse hits. Now, this is something like mankind had never seen before. This, you kind of, you know, see the curse come in. No. It is like walking in a room and all of a sudden the lights go out. I mean, it was the most terrible, most horrible, the frightening thing. Everything changed. Now, that was the curse. And God didn't invoke the curse. The curse is the reverse of the blessing. See? He reversed it. Now, you see the power of the curse, because when that curse reversed, that curse came through this man and struck every molecule and every matter that was in the earth. It struck everything that lives, every piece of dirt, every piece of vegetation, everything that would crawl, would fly, everything that was in this earth, and it went down to the cellular and molecular level and affected everything. The Bible says the whole creation groans, waiting for one thing, the manifestation of the sons of God, because can't nobody else get to that level. And that's the power of the blessing that's on our lives to do, to recreate. The Bible says, he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. 128 of Genesis. Replenish the earth. That means perpetually renew and supply it. And God knew some things were going to happen here. Now, this curse covered the planet from the top to the bottom and all around it, and there was no escape from it, and everything was affected by it. So now God has to get this earth back into shape. Now you gotta watch this man, because this man, even without God, is powerful, more powerful than the devil. The only way the devil gets in on that man is he gotta deceive him. That's how powerful man. The Satan can do nothing in this earth. He can't affect one square inch of this planet without a man. This man, the Bible says that the blood of Jesus cleansed the heavenly utensils. That tells me that the curse went all the way up, but not including the throne of God. Every planet was affected. That's how powerful one man was. So all you got to do is to see the power of the blessing and look at the power of the curse. So if the blessing can turn every molecule the wrong way, the curse can turn every molecule the wrong way, the blessing can come in and fix it. It can fix your hair, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your hands, your skin, your cells. It can fix your abdomen. It can fix your chest. And watch it, and create something new. I'm not talking about just a repair job. This is what Jesus preached, and this is why that Satan ignited influenced those legal people, those Pharisees and so forth, to want to kill him. Well, Satan knew the only thing that could stop that curse was that blessing. And Jesus taught the blessing. Sure he did. He even in the scriptures it says when he fed the people before he multiplied, he looked up to heaven and blessed it. Boom, that stuff started multiplying. He knew how to use it, and he came and teach his disciples how to use it. He said, hey, I'm going to send you out. Don't even take no money. Don't even take a change in clothes. Praise God. You got the blessing on your life, and you got the blessing on your life. It's going to distinguish you above all people in the earth. Say amen. So, the blessing. But right now, I'm talking about Christianity in a radical Christian. Now, this is different from a milquetoast. Now this, Joshua and Caleb, if you look at this, they had to stand for some years on what they believed. They did not change. Say amen to that. So when you're talking about speaking what God said, because you want to speak the truth. Well, let's look at that. Romans chapter 3, verse 3. Glory to God. I'm telling you what's on you. And before we get done with you, it's going to be what's coming through you. Amen, folks. Well, I'm going to get to it. So what happens here, now remember what I said here about this. I said now that you're surrounded by unbelief. I mean, it's all around you. And so what we have to do is stop speaking what's happening, and we got to be speaking what's written. So if we do that and say what God said, the Bible says in Romans chapter 3:3, for if, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Come on. God forbid. Let God be what? True, and every man be a liar. All right. So we got to start speaking what God said. And as you start speaking what God said, many times it's going to go contrary to what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, and excuse me, what it be like. You got what I'm saying? And so you got to speak it. But you got to remember that, wait a minute, no word of God is void of power. Now let's look at a couple of things. Look at Matthew chapter 4, please, in verse 4. And here is Jesus. Now he's being tempted of the devil. But he answered the devil and said, it is what? Written. He didn't try to speak anything outside the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Next verse. Then the devil took him up to a high mount, the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, the devil quoting scripture now, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. So he was quoting scripture, but he didn't quote all of it. Jesus said to him, it is written again, also written, thou shalt not what? tempt the Lord thy God. Just because he said you can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you, that don't mean go out and get a fifth of liquor that night. I'm going to drink me a fifth of liquor. Are you following what I'm saying? That's not the deal, folks. All right, so notice, you need to go back to the word. Look what it says over in Jeremiah, please, in Jeremiah chapter 1. Glory to God. In Jeremiah chapter 1, look what he said in verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Here's another translation. I will watch over my word, and I'm going to make it good. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. I'm talking about the power of the word that God has given you the privilege to speak. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. All you need to do is believe and speak the word of God. And when you speak it, you release your faith. And when you release your faith, it shifts the battle. And when it shifts the battle, God always wins. So I'm saying with you, no matter how bad it looks in your life, what are you going to do? You're going to speak the word. You're not going to turn from the right to the left. And I'm telling you now that the word will not only fix it, it will create new parts. Then we got to start believing this. Glory to God. And so what I said there also, if you look at Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 1, please. And this is Mary. The angel come to Mary and said, hey, Mary, you're going to have a child. And Mary said, no, I'm not going to have this going to happen to me. I've never known a man. Well, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you, and the holy thing that's going to be born of you shall be the Son of God. And Mary said, well, be it unto me. And he said this, what the angel said, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Glory to God. Let me give you another rendition of that same scripture. No word of God is void of power. I said, you can get healed on the begots. I'm saying this time that you're getting, that I'm giving you this right now, we're talking about radical Christianity. We're talking about the fact that the church has almost been living in a backslidden state. And I'm telling you right now, that mess has got to stop, because there were people coming back preaching something that God did not say. And one of the reasons why they won't preach it is because they're too vested in the world system. And the next reason they won't preach it because they feel that if they preach it and it doesn't work, they may be embarrassed. I'm telling you, faith is never embarrassed. The Bible says a righteous man will fall 7 times and get back up again, because you're not embarrassed. Say amen to that. You see what I'm saying? I'm calling for some people that are going to serve now. They're going to go into this place. Because Joshua had to recruit a people that he said, okay, we're going to march around this building, this property, this city. We're going to march around it 7 times. And on all the times we march around it, don't speak a word. Don't speak a word, because it's not time for us to speak. So they did it. Everybody's quiet, just walking around the city. And you can see the people in the city look up on there, looking down at them, saying, what they doing, Joe? I don't know. They just look like they march. You know, they show off fanatical. Aren't they fanatical? But on that last day, the trumpet blew. And then they shouted, how? And when they did shout, Joe, you feel something? Yeah, I feel something. I'm here to tell you, whatever walls that's been in your life in 2016 are coming down with a shout. Praise God. Glory to God. So what am I saying now? I'm saying, how do we get that way? And I begin to look at some scripture here. If you would, go with me over to, where am I going now? Go with me over to go with me over to 1 Kings chapter 13. Glory to God. Boy, this time going by. 1 Kings chapter 13. You with me? Amen. Glory to God. So how do we get this way? Okay, 1 Kings chapter 13. This is a situation here where the man of God was sent by God. And it was sent to these people who was really supposed to be God's people, but they weren't living according to God's word. And look what he says here in 1 Kings chapter 13, is starting at verse 1. And behold, There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Rehoboam, who was a king, stood by the altar and burned incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born. This is the prophet's talking. Shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he order the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is a sign which the Lord had spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, that which had cried against the altar of Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold on him. And his hand, which he had put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not put it in again to him. And the altar was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him again, and became as it was before. Now the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. No wonder he said that. And the man of God said to the king, if you will give me half thy house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Why? Because God told him not to. But what happened? Some of the young kids, preachers' kids, prophets' kids, saw him do this. And they ran back and told their daddy. Now, the man of God had left town. He's on his donkey. But what happens is they told the daddy, who's the old prophet. Now, this old prophet had been living in the city, but he must have been living in compromise, because the city, the one job of the prophet is to speak and keep things straight. And so what happened is he now heard about this young prophet and ran to catch him. He caught up with him and said, hey, I'm a prophet too. He said, come back to the house and get something to eat. He said, no, I can't eat or drink in this place. He said, I know that, but the Lord spoke to me. Just lying. The Lord spoke to me and said, come on back and eat. Well, that was a mistake. He went back, ate, and while he had the chicken leg in his mouth. Now, this is Winston now. I'm putting that in there myself. God spoke to him and said, I told you not to do this. And what happened to him? He couldn't eat anymore. He left the house and a lion caught him on the way and killed him. But here's my point. My point is that he prophesied. He prophesied that a man is coming in verse 2. And he said, Josiah by name. He called his name. I think only twice did the prophet call a name. I'm talking about, yes, they called the name Emmanuel and so forth. And then before Jesus came, right then, he called him Jesus. But here in Cyrus, they were calling names. But he called his name. So if you go over in 2 Kings, and 2 Kings chapter 22, now Josiah is born. And this is a few hundred years later. So Josiah comes in. I'm just saying this. When Israel was in a state where they weren't believing anymore, they were doing a lot of stuff that wasn't allowed in the house of God, and all that going on, God always raises up somebody. So when the devil shot his best shot, God always raises up somebody. And I'm telling you today, we got ISIS, Al-Qaeda, we got whatever. I'm telling you, God is raising up a Joshua generation. Because if you go back to the first chapter of the book of Joshua, you'll see not only but one group was talked about. Put Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2 up there. You'll see only one group that was talked about. He said this in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 2. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and this all this people, into a land that I'm going to give them. Even the land of, even to the children of Israel. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. If you remember me, I said, Lord, how am I going to take that shopping mall? He said, this is the way you all going to take it. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I'm going to give it to you. And he said, take that scripture and meditate it. And when I meditated that scripture, the shopping mall that was too big, all of a sudden looked too long, too small. I'm here to tell you that God's got a word for you for every piece of inheritance God has for you. And every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great free river and river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, say Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not any man be able, I'm talking about from the White House to the outhouse, be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. And be strong now and of good courage. Say amen to this. I'm saying in this deal, he was raising up another people. The other people, for some reason, couldn't follow God. You came back and had preachers with the congregation telling the congregation, we can't take that. Oh, that's passed away. Miracles don't happen all the time. Well, some people get saved. And I'm just saying, my point to you is now you're raising up a generation full of faith. Watch it. A generation that's unable to be intimidated. I'm talking about you raising up a generation. You watch and see what's going to happen to you when I get done with this chapter. I'm telling you that the Al-Qaeda has been radical, and they have been radicalizing people. Now understand, that's not normal Islam. It's a radical group of Islam. It doesn't like anybody. Anybody that doesn't go along with what they're saying, whether they're from this country or from Mexico or from Europe or even in whatever. They have taken those people and have frightened them and terrorized them and so forth. Now, the Hittites are the sons of Heth. Heth means terror. And the Hittites are the ones that's supposed to bring terror. So the first group, when you start going into the promised land, are going to be the group of terror. Their job is to make you look at what's going to happen to you, or what they're going to say about you, or you're going to be embarrassed, or they're going to impugn your name, or so forth. They're the ones that saying, you're going to run out of money. You're going to, because you're going in to get your stuff, because your stuff is going to be on the other side of your fear. And if you can get that fear out of the way, you can go and get your stuff. Well, I'm going to help you get that fear out of the way. Fear of going broke. Fear of being gone. Fear of being in an accident. Fear of being molested. Fear of being fired. Fear of being broke. Fear of being sick. Fear of dying early. I'm telling you, I cancel all that in your life in the name of Jesus. So I'm here to tell you right now that whatever the enemy has planned, God's got something bigger that he's raising up. And he said, be strong, be dauntless, be fearless, be forceful, because the violent are going to take it by force. And let me tell you, you've been circumcised. Now you're about to be radicalized, because God is taking you in, not for fear, but for faith, not for hate, but for love. God's going to let you set the captives free, and he's going to show you that you got the power to do it. Say amen. Josiah comes in. Josiah, look what he said in verse 8. Because Josiah decides he's going to renovate the temple. You know, do a little repair work. And it says in verse 8, and Hilkiah, this is chapter 22 of 2 Kings. And the high priest said unto Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And then they took it to the king. And it says in verse 11, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he took his clothes and rent them. he put sackcloth properly on him and put sand on their head. Say, oh God, God, how far we've strayed away from what you have planned for us in this last hour. How far have we gone away from the mission that you have planned for us? And I'm telling you, then Josiah went on the warpath. He not also, he just didn't go on the warpath tearing down all them, the more houses of ill repute and everything else. Look at chapter 23 and verse 5. And he put down the idolatrous priest whom the king of Judah had ordained and burned incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem. Them also that burned incense unto Baal, to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the hosts of heaven. I'm telling you right now, he didn't care who they were. He was going to put them down. Look at verse 20. And he slew all the priests and then burned their bones on the altar. I'm here to tell you right now, there are some people that have been ordained, shouldn't have been ordained. And I believe there might be some people that have been licensed, shouldn't have been licensed. I'm here to tell you right now, if they're not standing up for righteousness, you need to look hard at what's happening here. I'm saying to you now that God's about to clean out the house and he's going to bring this power back into the house that it should be. Say amen. So no wonder people can come in broke and leave broke, come in sick and leave sick. Those days are over, folks. God's gonna make it so that what we're gonna say, we're gonna do. God's gonna back you. God's gonna make it so you are distinguished among the people of the nations. He said all these people gonna come, all these blessings gonna come on you and overtake you. He said I'm gonna make you the head and not the tail. Come on, the lenders and not the borrowers. You'd be surprised how many people are backslidden that have to be responsibility for preaching the word of God. Now I'm examining myself because I found out. I'm telling you, when my leg got hurt, I said, what's up here? And God said, you done slid back with some of them people. I said, well, consider it done, because I'm coming back. I said, I'm coming back. I'm going to preach this word like I did when I first come in this place. Everybody was getting healed. People go in that pool and get baptized and come up speaking in tongues. And one man had a whiskey bottle in his back pocket while he had his robe on. He was trying to hide his whiskey bottle. He went down, a drug addict and a whiskey drinker, came up, his bottle floated on the water, and he came up speaking in tongues. And listen, no 10-point program, just one program. Baptism in Jesus' name. And when he got up, he was healed. Now give God praise, because we're going in and we're going to take this thing. It's time to stop playing church. Say amen. Now stand up and give God a big shout. I said, give him a big shout. It's time to shout. Come on, give him a shout. All right, take your seats. If you're here and God's spoken to your heart about being born again, being saved, I want to pray, get you saved right now, whoever that is. I want to take you to how they took me and it cleaned me out, and God's using me, and you will use you for whatever you've been born to do in this earth. So whoever that is, I want you to do something. Take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair, come on up here, and stand with me here at the altar. Wow. Amen. Just like you are. Just like you are. I surrender. Just like you are. Come on, somebody. Come on. Just like